Good afternoon, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. And we are very glad to be in these chairs that we just rushed into. And so excited about today, what God's going to do on this show. Looking forward to it. So glad you're joining us. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Always a joy to be right here in this chair in the control room. I love it. I look forward to this show. It's going to be powerful and mighty. Nan Watson joins me in the studio. Betty Thomas from Indiana will be along shortly. And we are here to bring good news of God's word to you today. And it's amazing what God is doing in our lives. And you know, we get here early enough before the show usually that we can hear part or all of Truth Talk, the show right before us. What an amazing show. Our dear friends, they are full of the anointing of God. They had some very powerful things to say today. And I think everybody needs to take note of everything going on in our nation. And of course, prayer is the answer because we don't really have much that can be done about some of the things going on, but we can definitely be praying for God to lead and guide people of character and people of integrity to make some of the correct decisions that need to be made for the safety and well-being of our nation. So we pray for our nation and one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what it is. That's what it's supposed to be. And without getting any more political than that, we agree in prayer for our nation. Nan, what a day we've had around Beacon of Hope, have we not?
Oh, it's been a fantastic day, and getting to end it out with a radio show is just such a blessing. We've had a fantastic day, great time this morning in service.
Yeah,
we just left the nursing home for our monthly nursing home ministry.
Yeah,
and you know that's you asked both Becky and myself if we want to say something
At nursing home today.
Yeah,
yes,
nursing home today, and we we both kind of said the same thing. We just get blessed going there, and that's how you and Pastor Jim feel. We get blessed when we go there and we see the people singing songs who don't even hardly talk, but yet their mouth is moving. They're singing the song. They know those songs.
And today, they remembered a lot of the old Christmas carols that we sang today.
They did. Mm. They did. It was just an awesome, awesome time. And now we get to be here. This is fantastic.
What a joy.
I call it my Pinellas, because I live in Hillsborough. I call it my Pinellas County
Marathon.
Marathon. That's a marathon.
Because you're here for many hours on Sundays, mm-hmm. And I am too, but I live in Pinellas. But just the same, it's a joy to be here, and looking forward to everything God wants to share with our audience today. This is Advent Sunday. This is the beginning of the Advent season. We'll be celebrating the birth of Jesus. We're going to talk about that. We've been in a series for a while called Who Is He? So we are taking that series through the month of December and then start something new in January, I believe. And who is he? Jesus the Messiah. And we're going to talk about Jesus the Messiah today and how his life and his decisions have impacted every single one of us and will continue to do so. Yeah, back to the nursing home. What a joy to see all those people packed into that room in their wheelchairs and praising God and loving to be able to be there and hear God's word. And we did something different today. What did we do?
What did we do differently?
It just came upon me as I was leading music.
Oh, Into My Heart, Lord Jesus, the song Into My Heart, Lord Jesus.
That old song, Into My Heart, Into My Heart, yes. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And it just really was impressed upon me about halfway through our service there today at Palm Garden that there might be just even one person that did not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we made that invitation and we sang that song. Mm-hmm. And I really felt like there was at least one, maybe a nurse out in the hall, maybe who knows who the person might be that invited Jesus into their heart. And that's the most important decision that we make in our lives, you know?
Well, I was going to say, you know, I mean, the people are blessed when we go there. We know that they are. We can tell that they are. They say that they are, you know, and family members say that they are, and they're blessed. But, you know, if I, too, believe that it was for someone who accepted Jesus as their Savior, if that is the one person that came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in their life, out of everybody for the 6.5 years that we've been going there,
right,
it would be worth it all.
It would be worth it all.
It would be worth it all. I believe more have been touched that way. But
yes,
if it was just one, it would be worth all the effort we put forth to get there every
absolutely
month.
Because every soul is precious and every life is needs to make this decision and to follow the Lord God in all that they do.
Right.
And you know, some of these are feeble-minded now or weak in their body, but it's amazing to me how they remember, as we sang Bus Assurance today,
yes,
how this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And boy, I tell you, they joined into that song we did today in our service towards the end. It just really came heavily upon my heart. This is my story, and this is my song. This is why we're on the radio,
amen,
Nan Watson. We are on here week after week for 11-plus years because we believe that the story of Jesus and the life that he lived here and the life he promises us eternally is worth talking about. Mm-hmm. It is worth preaching it. It is worth sharing the good news of the gospel, that God can come and change your life and that you can get to know Jesus, the Messiah.
Oh, yes. It's awesome. It's powerful. Powerful.
Yes. So, Lord, we thank you right now for this opportunity today to share the precious word of God with our audience worldwide. We thank you, Lord, that you have opened this door of opportunity and that you will speak through us and that the music will bless many, many hearts and lives. And you get the glory and you get the praise for what is done in every single person. You are the one. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, this we pray. Amen. I want to start today with a song that is probably one of my favorites, Whom Shall I Fear by Chris Tomlin, because so often, especially at this season, people get depressed, they get fearful, they get feeling lonely and kind of just maybe out of sync. A lot of times this happens to a lot of people, and I believe a lot of it is fear-based. Maybe they're afraid of being alone on a holiday like Christmas, or they just have financial fears or whatever those fears might be. Listen to the song, Whom Shall I Fear? It's going to bless you. Love it.
You hear me when I call.
Amen.
You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? Who goes before me? I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is
Amen. God of angel armies is always by our side. He is the God of angel armies, and we are praising him and blessing his name today. Guys, he's on your side. He's working with you, for you. He wants to do a work in your life, a fresh new work. This is going to be a real faith-building show. And this series we're in, Jesus the Messiah, is going to change your thinking. I know there are people out there in this world who still do not understand or recognize that the Messiah, the predicted, prophesied Messiah, has already come in the person of Jesus. There are some people who choose to believe that they are still waiting for the Messiah. Scripture proves that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Betty, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Nan. How are you, dear?
I'm fine, dear. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Is it cold up there?
It's 59, so we're having a heat wave.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. You're having a heat wave up there. Betty Thomas from my church that I pastored in Indiana many years ago. And still living in Indiana and enjoying that balmy, wonderful weather up there.
Yeah, when we can go out without hats and mittens and, you know, two or three layers of outer garments, it's a heat wave. But it's nice to be able to have the sun shining, and it's just a glorious day here in Indiana.
Now, Betty, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I landed in Indianapolis and was there for a few days. And when I landed, it was 25. I just want you to know that.
You know what? I've noticed that every time you come up here, the weather changes drastically, Pastor.
I know. I don't understand that. Yeah, it was cold. But then as the week progressed, it got warmer. It got nicer. You know, it wasn't too bad. Just the first 2 days were kind of nasty. But
We had a cold spell come in, and then, like I said, it did get warmer, and it is warmer, but we're expecting some more chillier weather later this week. So,
okay.
Indiana weather is coming soon.
All right. Chestnuts roasting by the open fire. Yeah. All right. Well, we're excited about this show, Betty, because we're still in this series. We're going to finish it up this month of December. Who is he? And we're talking about Jesus the Messiah. This was the beginning of Advent, with the beginning of the celebration of the birth of Jesus, which is celebrated around the world in a lot of places. We are really making a statement this month, especially for people who are not sure that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised. For people that have said, well, I think we're still waiting on him, you know, and that is believed by some. I hope you'll tune in and listen to this series, because God's word is true and his promises are very, very true. And we have a lot that we want to say about Jesus, the Messiah, and the fact that there were so many prophecies for so long, which we're going to get into in just a few minutes. But why is it so important that we understand that God fulfilled his promises to us, Nan, in the person of Jesus? Why is that so important to know that? And how does it impact our lives and change our lives?
Well, we wouldn't be Christians saved by what Jesus did for us.
Right.
If he wouldn't have come down in the form of a baby and then grew up into being a man and then gave his life for us and then rose again the third day. If that would have happened, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
I mean, you know, our lives would be totally.
And I'm not exactly sure how some people can negate all of that, because the story of Jesus is not just recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then they begin to talk about it in the book of Acts and preach it and teach it, etc. But it is also historically recorded by the historian Josephus at the time, and some of you may want to go get some writings by Josephus. And the other thing that I think will help a lot of people is an author, Josh McDowell, and his premise as he wrote his books. His premise is Jesus was either he was either a lunatic, a liar, or the Lord. Okay. And that his series, and I'm his the name of the book is skipping my mind right this minute, but well, I'm sure it'll come back here soon. Evidence that demands a verdict. Evidence that demands a verdict. So if you are one of those out there in Radio Land that are not sure that Jesus Christ really is the Messiah, get a copy of Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell. An amazing book. And then there's part two. There's another book after that. But his whole thing is he was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. And he sets about to teach that he is the Lord that was awaited, the Messiah. Another great one is Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And Betty, I don't know about you, but I've known people that really were still thinking that, no, that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. He was just a good guy. He was a teacher, good teacher. Yeah, he was important, and he has been written about in history, but he was just a prophet, a teacher. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, and I think a lot of times that, you know, people, they draw their own conclusions. No matter what you tell them, no matter, you know, you have to prove it. You
right.
have to show them, you know, if I can't see him, then I can't believe in him.
Right.
And it's just like oxygen. We have to have oxygen, but we can't.
Oh, that's a good metaphor. Yes.
Still have to have it. So
once
you get past that initial thinking, is what we'll call that, is that, you know, people have been deceived for years that, you know, that Jesus is not the Son of God. But I believe that as he gets closer to his coming, which we don't know when he's coming, that people will begin to open their eyes. And I think that's what we're feeling now, is that the throngs of his coming back, because, you know, things are just kind of spiraling out of control in some areas. And even people feel like that in their own lives. It's like, God, where are you? Why are you not listening to me? Why are you not answering my prayer? And God is waiting. He's waiting on us. And I think that even throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament is that, you know, yes, God was a prophet. You know, I'm a good person. I could do good things like Jesus did. But his own word is John 3:16. And we have to stand on that as Christians to understand that, yes, Jesus did exist. He did come in the form of a baby.
Yes.
He did walk this earth. He took on all of our sicknesses and diseases.
Yes.
And he was crucified for our sins.
Amen.
And if he hadn't, I'd like to touch on to what Nanner said, is that if he hadn't have come,
right,
where would we be?
We'd be waiting.
We'd be living in sin.
Right.
We would be totally lost. I mean, there would be so much turmoil now is because of Jesus Christ, we have life.
Right.
And we have it abundantly.
You're exactly right, Betty. And we see, and I started out the show saying in our nation, and because the show before us was talking about that, we see in our nation, we see in leaders, we see in people that we've respected in the entertainment field and all kinds of places, that there is a reckoning that seems to be starting, that there seems to be a need for truth in our lives, and a need for honesty, and a need to have people in our lives that we respect and look up to as speaking truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? That's who he is. He's the way to God the Father. He's the way to salvation. He is the truth. He says in John chapter 1, John says about him that he was full of grace and truth as he walked this earth. He still is grace and truth. And we need a relationship with Jesus. Now, there's people who say that they know God, but there are a lot of people who really deny that Jesus Christ is that Messiah that was promised so long ago. And we are here on the airwaves today with this very purpose. Jesus Christ is, because he's still alive, because he's the risen Lord, Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. Talk to us, Nan, because so many people still have their doubts. They believe in some higher power. That word higher power goes all through me when people try to say that instead of acknowledging that it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. That's the higher power. We don't need to refer to a politically correct term, higher power.
Well, two points. I just forgot the first one. It just left me. But the higher power thing, you know, I hate when I hear that too. You know, the higher power or people who believe God is in them,
right.
that they are God within themselves. That doesn't mean when we accept Jesus as our Savior, he comes in and lives in our life.
Yes.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the higher power, the great.
Oh, that they don't need anybody because they are God within themselves. Yes, there is that teaching out there.
Yes, and the first point was about people believing that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah.
Right.
I have a real good friend of mine who believes that, and we've had little discussions about that, not any in great depth at this point, but, you know, I mean, I can't conceive of how someone cannot believe that he's a Messiah.
Right.
Because I believe he's a Messiah.
Well, Christmas is all about
exactly.
The fact that Jesus came to this earth born in a manger and all of that and showed us. We're going to talk about this. Okay, I'll shut up and let you finish your point. I'm sorry. I just got...
No, that's my point.
I got carried away. No.
That's my point. Go ahead.
That's your point.
That's my point.
So, Betty, there are so many people who want to think that they don't have to deal with Jesus. You know, they don't have to reckon with him. Let's try to think of a metaphor in our... There are people who think they don't have to. I've known people like this that never file taxes and they don't think they owe taxes. You know, that's like when, you know, Peter, you know, said we can't pay our taxes, and Jesus said, just a minute, and he, you know, got that fish and opened the mouth, and there was the money. He says, go pay taxes, you know. That's part of life, right? Mm-hmm. Death and taxes,
yes,
is part of
yes.
life, correct?
Yes.
But there are people that feel like they don't have to reckon with, they don't have to deal with Jesus if they say, well, the Messiah hasn't come yet, you know? Talk to us, Betty.
Well, again, it's people's lack of knowledge.
Amen.
They don't understand. And I think that to be able to know Jesus is to love him.
Amen.
And we know that God exists through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
And if you look at Luke 11:9, and I don't know why this scripture hits me so hard sometimes.
Luke 11:9.
Ask and it will be given to you. And
yes.
That's what you have to do. You have to ask him.
Yes.
You seek him and you will find him. If you knock on that door, he will open it to you. And it comes to a thing of, and this is just my own silly words, it's people's egos. People's
I agree with
resistance,
you.
Resistance to change. People's resistance to want to understand, you know, because they believe in, I just lost my train of thought. You know, they believe in the Big Bang Theory. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And that's why it's so important that we continue this radio ministry.
Right, it is.
That we continue the nursing home ministry through the Hispanic aversion and outreach that we have down in Puebla.
Yes.
And down in Mexico through Starcom Media. That's what God is giving us an opportunity
yes.
to take the wax out of our ears, the blinders off of our eyes, and begin to see who he is.
Amen.
And for some of you, if you don't think that he does exist, maybe some of the things that you're going through might not be as enormous as if you would change.
Right.
And think, think about the person who created you, because, my friend, you are created in His image.
Amen. Amen. You know, Betty, I agree with everything you're saying. And so many times it is a rebellion. It is a resistance. You know, Satan doesn't want to acknowledge that Jesus conquered death and the grave. I mean, and Satan is continually trying to put thoughts in people's minds that we don't have to reckon with Jesus. You know, Betty, talk to me about that. So many people don't want to reckon or deal with Jesus, and they just want to say, oh, yeah, he was a good guy. Yeah, good guy.
Well, you look at it from a non-Christian perspective from that point on, is that maybe they've done some things that if I come to Jesus, you know, he carries a gavel, that he's, you know, he's so judgmental that he won't take me into his kingdom. And I think a lot of it, Pastor and Nan, is fear.
Right.
It's fear of what will happen if I actually accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And if more churches and more pastors would preach the love of Jesus
Amen.
Christ across this nation, I sound like I'm preaching, don't I?
You
I'm
are
sorry.
Preaching.
I'll take it down a notch.
That's all right.
But if people would start preaching the love of Jesus
yes.
Christ instead
yes.
of the condemnation.
Yes.
And that's where... And you correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, because you know so much more about this than I do.
No, you're fine.
But if they would quit preaching condemnation,
right?
And they would quit preaching about hate, negativity, looking at it from a perspective from Jesus's eyes. And I know there's a song that says, "Give me the eyes so I can see. Give me
right.
the ears to hear. Give me your hands, Lord. Give me your feet." If people would accept Jesus Christ for his love and his acceptance of the people that he hung with, were, you know, tax collectors, you know, they weren't high society.
No, they weren't. They were ordinary people.
They were hootie-tooties. They were the ones that people looked down to. But you know what? He accepted them into the flock. He accepted them. He talked to them. He encouraged them. Just his presence alone would make you think, you know, you are the Messiah. You are the prophet that's spoken of in the Old Testament. And if people, like I said, if we would start being the light that Jesus put in each one of us when we accepted Jesus Christ, and if we quit the timidity, we quit the ignorance, and we quit the, like you said, like we said before, resistance.
Right.
Quit resisting him and accept him.
Yes. Amen.
The change would come.
And, you know, we just started with that song, Whom Shall I Fear? Because so often we are afraid of surrender. We're afraid of acknowledging Jesus as the Messiah because we have to deal with him. Listen to this song by Chris Tomlin. We're going to come back for some more amazing, amazing conversation here in just a moment. Listen to the words.
Yeah.
into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are high.
Came to this earth in the person of his son. What can stand against when we have the power of Almighty God working in our lives? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says this, probably written by the Apostle Paul, the book of Hebrews in your New Testament. Chapter 1 verse 1 says, going through a long line of prophets, I'm in the Message Bible, God has been addressing our ancestors in different ways for centuries. In other words, you go through the Old Testament, and we're going to talk about a few places. We're going to go to the book of Genesis in a few moments, but we go to the prophets that have written so many amazing words about the coming Messiah. And there are hundreds of prophecies about Jesus coming to this earth, his first coming, and what will happen and hasn't happened yet, his second coming. There are hundreds of prophecies. And some theologian has said this, and it bears writing it down somewhere in your Bible because it is totally an amazing statistic. The chances of all of the prophecies about Jesus' first and second coming being fulfilled in only one person, those chances of that happening are 1 in 10 to the 14th power, which means you would have to have the chances of this happening, all of it in one person, is one chance in 10 and then put 14 zeros behind all that. In other words, I don't even know how what the name of that number would be. After billion, it gets into trillion, and then I don't even know after that. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, you're talking 10 to the 14th power. Some of you may understand what I'm trying to say here. The chances of all of these prophecies being fulfilled in one person are enormously impossible for that to all happen in one person. What does that do to your faith, Nan? What does that do to your faith? Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies and will fulfill the second coming prophecies soon.
It's a great faith builder. You know, when God makes promises in his word to us,
yes,
or he makes promises to us as individual people, you know, whatever that might be, I mean, we can look to him with knowing and the understanding that he's going to fulfill what he has promised. And I mean, and this seems so enormous for that to be able to take place, but yet it did, you know. And so, I mean, if that can take place, so can the promises that God has made. I mean, if God can do that with such a high number that we can't even say the words, but you know, of that, because we don't know it offhand, but you know, that he will so much greater, he'll fulfill what he said he would do for us. I mean, it's just simple. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, if he can do that, then he can do this, or he can do this, or he can do that, or he can do that. Whatever it is he's promised, he
can do
because he did that.
And because he understands that in our minds, we can't really figure all this out, all this, the implications of God coming to this earth as a person. Mm-hmm. But when we see that history actually agreed that there was this amazing, incredible situation that happened at that time, oh, wow. And it was prophesied in the book of Daniel, too. And the coming of the Messiah was prophesied right there in that time frame that we say when Jesus was born, that history says when he was born. They say approximately 26 A.D., to someplace around 32 A.D., someplace in there, the prophecies from the book of Daniel bring it out that that's when the Messiah was coming, and that is when he was born. You know, a lot of historians feel like he was born 2 or 3 years before the calendar actually says that it started right there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, whichever it is, that was all born out in the person of Jesus. Crazy, mm-hmm. A wonderful, amazing.
Amazing.
Talk to us, Betty.
Well, you know, when you said 10 to the umpteenth power.
14th power. 14 zeros.
Power, that would be, I had it figured out, but now I've lost it. The word power is, the word right there is power.
Mm-hmm.
And because his word is power.
Yeah, it is.
He is power.
Right.
In both of the New and the Old Testament.
Right.
God power was revealed. And we were talking about, you know, people and their unbelief in the Lord. And I have an atheist friend, but I've seen a change in this atheist friend.
Interesting.
I've seen a slight change. Now, you have to remember that, you know, Satan has a lot to do with the deceitfulness.
Right.
Has a lot to do with people's unbelief. And I know I had a conversation many months ago that this person was let down by God. And I said, in what way did he let you down? She said, my dad died.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, well, you have to understand that, you know, all throughout the Bible, whatever is born must die.
Yeah.
And I said, when you come to that conclusion that your dad is in a much better place because her dad was very, very ill.
Right.
And you have to consider the promises that he gave to you and to your dad before he passed away. And she said, but I hate him. I said, but then what happens there is you're harboring some things right. that you need to get rid of. And so it all boils down to the power of Almighty God can change something in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely.
The twinkle of an eye.
I mean,
it's just, it amazes me when you talk about the 10th to the 14th power is that is beyond our...
We can't even fathom that, right?
You can't fathom it. You know, it's just indescribable. It is can almost be so unbelievable that it's magnificent,
right.
that it's wonderful. And that's exactly what Jesus is. He is magnificent. He is wonderful. He is... He is my Lord.
Amen.
And what we're trying to do through this radio program and have for many, many years is to tell people how much that Jesus loves them.
Amen. Yes.
And that's you know, just point blank.
That's
it. Jesus is the reason why that we're here on this radio station today.
Exactly.
And why our lives have changed and have Amen. Come about because of him.
Very well said. And you're exactly right. And so we see in Hebrews 1, recently he spoke to us directly. So first Paul says, wait a minute, God spoke through a long line of prophets, and he's been talking for centuries. You see, I said this many times. I said it again this morning as I was preaching, talking, whatever it was. Three things. Write it down somewhere. God tells you what he's going to do. Then God does it. And then he tells you he did it, okay? Because he wants to remind us so it builds our faith. God says, here's what I'm going to do. Some of you have some personal promises that God has given you in areas of your life. Don't forget this concept. God tells you what he's going to do. Then he does it, okay? And then later on he says, remember I told you I was going to do that and I did it, okay? That's the concept right here for the birth of Jesus. God began to talk back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, that a Messiah was coming, okay? And then he talked to so many prophets, and there are so many prophecies, so many that it's the odds of all of them being fulfilled in one person are that crazy number I told you, one chance in 10 to the 14th zero after it, okay? That I mean, the chances of all these things happening in one person are so minimal, it's crazy. All right, so then he tells, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send the Son. I'm going to send my Son, and he will be the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for your sin. And he will also bring healing to your bodies, etc. He began to promise that all through those centuries in the Old Testament. So we see this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Recently, he spoke to us directly through his Son. Then the time came, the perfect time, and we call that in the original Greek, it's called Kairos moment, K-A-I-R-O-S. And it means God's opportune moment, okay? It means the perfect timing. You know, it strikes me, and I watched my grandson Justin, play his first varsity basketball game last Friday night in Indiana for this senior year, his senior year. And as they're going up and down the court, it strikes me that perfect timing is extremely important in the game of basketball. It probably is in every sport. But I noticed it very much the other night, because you know, as the timing happens, as you're going down the court and you're doing a play, you're feeding that person who's going to make that shot, you're feeding that person with the ball, okay? It's just the right timing. And the guy is right where they practice he should be. And as I mentioned last week, I guess I'm pretty proud of this, Justin got the ball fed to him with only like 1 minute into the game, and he shot a... Now, maybe it's longer into the game. But anyway, he shot a three-pointer from that, and it went right in, perfect timing, just the way they practiced that play. Now, Jesus came, perfect timing, just the way God ordained that this was to happen. Kairos moment, God's opportune moment. It wasn't just any old time in history. God didn't sit back, you know, back in the days of King David and say, oh, I think this might be a good time to bring the Messiah. No, he told David, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. David wrote about it in the book of Psalms. There's so many prophecies right there in the book of Psalms. David says, gosh, God's going to do this. you know, he's going to bring his son, you know? And it was prophesied. Then came the exact moment. Talk to us, Nan. Kairos moment. God's opportune moment. Talk to us.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I understand and agree with that. What excites me is when we have Kairos moments in our own lives.
Right.
When God moves in, boom, right at the perfect time.
Yes.
He knows the timing of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and in the Kairos moment, in his opportune time, things show up, things happen.
You receive something.
You receive joy. You receive whatever it is.
Receive a miracle.
You receive, a miracle. Yeah, a miracle.
Whatever it might be. You can't have a miracle, by the way, without an impossibility. I've said this many, many times. So if you've got some impossibilities in your life, you're believing God for a miracle, then that's the seed of the miracle, the impossibility, and then you believe God for it. Betty, talk to us.
Well, do we have a few minutes to talk about these Kairos moments with Betty?
Yes.
If you cut me off, if I get too lengthy. In my own personal life, I can tell you about the things that God tells you that he's going to do.
Right.
And then he shows you
yeah.
that he's going to do it.
Gives you scripture, something.
He did it. It's mm-hmm. scripture, mm-hmm. scriptural. In 1997, my mom passed away, and I found out that I was adopted not too long before she passed away.
You did not know all your life, right?
I did not. All my life, I did not know until 1997, and then she was not able to confirm that. I found out afterwards. Okay. Leading back up to 2017, the God told me, a few years ago, he says, if you will just give me time and you will give me the opportunity to show you how I can work, I will give you something that you have been longing for many years, and that's knowing who my biological mom is. Well, I found out over the last few days that I found my biological mom.
Really? Oh, my gosh. You haven't told me, my friend.
I know. I just found out today, or actually last night or today, Megan is helping me do this.
Whoa.
Because God puts certain people in your life to help you through.
Oh, wow.
To help God push through those miracles. But one of the things that, you know, I'm trying to tell you how God works and how he, if you will just be patient.
Right.
And that if you will seek him in all things, that all, you know, I think that, you know, I thought when you said impossibilities, it's like, okay, I always thought it was an impossibility to be able to find someone maybe who didn't want you at that time. But God said, and Megan expressed that to me today, that I have the greatest father in the whole world, and that's my heavenly father. But in the next few days and weeks to come, God is going to show his mercy and his love more than he ever has in my life. And I just want people to hang on to their faith.
Right.
I don't want them to lose hope that if you're searching and you want something so bad, just keep just what we were talking about, surrender. Surrender and tell God, God, you know, this may not seem important to most people, but I know that it's important to me. And then I know that that God thinks it's important. So I'm saying this to say is that those Kairos moments come at a perfect timing. It could have happened in 1998 or 1999, but it didn't. It's because my heart wasn't ready and that I had not sought God on this matter for many, many years because I didn't want all that hurt to come back.
Wow.
But when it did come back, Nan and Pastor and listeners, I have a longing to know peacefully. It wasn't hurried. It wasn't rushed because, you know, Pastor taught many years ago, Satan rushes and God leads. And I think that this is God's leading. His timing is perfect.
Wow.
Again, an impossibility without a miracle. And my miracle is coming. To know whether if she, and I don't want to upset any apple cart, but I wanted to share that with our listeners.
Wow.
So that if you think that something is impossible, it isn't, not with God, because all things are possible.
This is so amazing, my friend.
To those who believe.
So amazing, my friend. And, you know, God cares about those details. He cares about every detail. And, I mean, this is an incredible testimony of you believing God for something, and the timing just is now, just now happening. I believe we are in a very important Kairos time in our lives. I believe we are in our nation. I believe we are, I believe that one of the reasons so much sexual abuse has been found out and been revealed is because God is really wanting a people who will clean up their act and who will surrender to Almighty God, that the lying, the, you know, all of that kind of stuff, it's got to stop. And we've got to be that shining light on a hill that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5. That we are to be the salt of the earth. We're to be that light in this world. And that Jesus, I mean, that's what Christmas is all about, is that he came to be that light. And and it's fascinating to me that he announced that he was coming with that great big huge star in the east. And that star was so bright. Last night we had a full moon here. I assume everybody did in America. But you know what? We had such an amazing full moon. It was so beautiful looking at that sky. And it was a clear, beautiful, kind of cool night here in Clearwater, Florida. And it just, when you look at that moon and you see that God's holding the moon in place, he's holding the stars in place, the sun, and then they chose to announce the birth of his Messiah with the most incredible star that anybody had ever seen. The scholars were like, look at that. What is that? And what was it? It was not a darkness. It was a brightness. And light shines on dark. And we're going to go there in just a minute into Genesis chapter 1. But let me finish these verses. We got it. We're going to, oh my gosh, I can't believe the time it is. And recently, God spoke to us directly through his son. By his son, God created the world in the beginning, and it will all belong to God at the end. This son perfectly mirrors God. So when we look at Jesus, we see the Father. And is stamped with God's nature. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words. We're going to talk more about this in our second hour. We're going to talk about his name, his great name, in just a few minutes. Also, the name Jesus. He was not named any other name. He was named this name on purpose. We got about 3 minutes before we get up to the top of the hour. Whoa. Nan, talk to us, if you will, about our prayer ministry. Do that. Prayers at BOHMglobal.com. Then I'm going to go to Betty about the Facebook post.
Well, that's one of the ministry outreaches that we have is the prayer line. If someone has a prayer request or praise report, but they have a prayer request and they want people praying about that, just send it on email in. It's picked up by Pastor Jim or Betty, and they put out a prayer, got them what the request is and put out a prayer, and that goes to the prayer team. And it's a lot of people all over the place that are part of this prayer team, and they really pray. We see have seen some pretty cool stuff come through as a result of
the prayers. Oh, answers prayer all the time.
And you don't have to put your name. You know, God knows who you are, so you don't have to put your name. Just put the prayer request, and you'll see things happen.
And send prayers reports, prayers at BOHMglobal.com. Our website is www.BOHMglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. We did something new this year, Betty, didn't we? We started in January with a Facebook post every week or two. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, through social media called Facebook, Beacon of Hope Ministries, through Pastor Marcia McAllister, is doing a 12 to 17 to 18 minute.
Just depends, right?
Yep. It just depends on what the Lord lays upon her heart.
Yeah.
That gives us a midweek boost of Jesus Christ and the power that lies within that name. One of the things that I love about her is, and her last one was change it.
Yeah, hashtag change it.
Hashtag, and I keep forgetting hashtag. Hashtag change it has been one of the things that has given us a reason to get on Facebook, is that there is actually the Word of God that's being preached in just little snippets done by Pastor, sometimes Zoe, and Pastor's dog, and Crazy Mac.
Yeah.
Can join in with a few barks or phone ringing. It just depends on,
it's always
on
fun.
The moment. You know what? They can be an inspirational part of your day. You can do it, click on it through Facebook and listen to what she has to say through God, through the Holy Spirit. He spoke through Change It. I mean, there were some in interruptions at first, but you know what? Change It is going to be one of my top ones.
Yeah, mine too.
To listen to. I will not critique that one because it hit me the hardest.
Did it?
But it gives you an opportunity to get into the Word midday and to help you energize you for a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Whenever
it happens. But it happens most of the time, most every week. And what I love about them, Pastor, is that they're spirit driven and they're truth, they're life. And that's what we all need in these changing times, is just a little bit of light in this dark world. And I tell you, it's changing people from, maybe 480 to 800 views in a week. We know that the Word of God is going out.
Absolutely.
And it's going out with power, and it's not coming back void.
Amen. Just go to my post.